This week is Parshas Tetzaveh, Parshas Zohar. Okay, everyone really is off balance this week. That's how it feels. Everyone is off balance because of the virus. Rabbi Sayed, let's learn. Parshas Tetzaveh, Parshas Zohar. It's a very important parsha. Mechias Amalek, the mitzvah of Mechias, to remember that we have an obligation when Hashem will give us rest from all of our enemies to erase the name of Amalek from this world because of what they have done to us when we left Mitzrayim and the fact that they have no Yirah Shamayim, and this is something we should not forget. But before we get to Amalek, let's first be with the parasha of Yatot Tetzaveh Es Bnei Yisrael. I saw something very, very beautiful from Rabbi Pelkowitz, Zechet Tzadik Levracha. Rabbi Rafol Pelkowitz. I'm saying it's not exactly what he says in his Sefer, but it's rooted in his words. And he makes the following incredible observation, that we have here the word in the parasha of the Atah three times. The Atah you, Moshe, Tetzaveh es Bnei Yisrael. And then a few psukim later it says, the Atah hakrev, Eilecha es Aron Echicha, regarding the begadim, all the different types of garments that the Kohanim are going to wear in the Mishkan, and then the third part of the parasha, where Moshe Rabbeinu,
Pasuk Gimel says it.
Pasuk Gimel. Right. First we have the Ato Titzaveh es Bnei Yisrael for the oil. And then Pasuk Aleph, Yato Hakrev, Eilecha es Aron Nechicha v'Yespona Mitoch Bnei Yisrael L'Chahan Oli. They shall be, right, they shall L'Chahan Oli. And then Pasuk Gimel, Yato Tedaber El Kol Chach Melev Asher Mileim Ruach Chochma V'Yosu Es Bigdei Aharon L'Kacha L'Chahan Oli and V'Eilah Habagadim. So Pelkowitz says, look at this, we have the word V'Yato three times, and it's followed by three different adjectives. The first time it says titzaveh, the second time it says hakrev, and the third time it says v'ato tidaber. Now, they have a different connotation. The word titzaveh is a very harsh expression. Give them orders. Follow orders. If you are a soldier, and your commander gives you orders, you do it. Okay, you just do it. You don't ask questions, you don't think. Follow orders. Let's jump to the end, the begadim. The atah tidaber. Have a conversation. Speak. Don't give them orders. Call them over, you sit down, and say the following thing to them, that this is what you should do. Tidaber. And the third expression in the middle, the ato hakrev. Hakrev means kiruv, bring them close. Put your hand around their shoulder. I don't know if it's a good idea to do that today anymore. Okay, speak with love. The whole kiruv movement of, you know, hugging everyone, kissing everyone. No kissing. Netanyahu said now we should adopt the Indian style of greeting. Go like this. Okay, it's not so precious. You know, the Gedolei Yisrael used to say all the time, why you shake someone's hands? Your hand is not public property. They're not public property. Years ago, they said, what's it that you shake someone's hands? Where does it come from to shake someone's hands?
You know where it comes from.
Your hands are not public property. Well, who's going to shake someone's hand? This Kabbal and Yonim. They say, Yivarecha, Hashem, Yishmerecha, Yor Hashem, Panav Elecha, Yivarecha, Yisro Hashem, Panav Elecha, V'yasim Lucha. Shalom. So when you put two hands together, peace. There's such a Kabbalistic principle. The reason why you shake hands is because the center, there are 14 parts of the finger, and the center is the last word. Yivarech Hashem, the thumb. Yivarech Hashem, v'yishmerecha. Yor Hashem, panav elecha v'chunecha. Yiso Hashem, panav elecha v'yasem l'cha. Shalom. Yeah. So when you shake hands, I'm giving you shalom. Shalom aleichem. I'm giving you I'm giving you shalom.
I thought you were giving me
right. No, thank you. Weapon, you can keep the shalom for yourself. That's to show your hands. That's to show your hands. Raise your hands. Who says you have to give your hand? Okay, so this thing about giving your hand is now it's going to become a big hot topic. I guarantee you that. About, is there really a need, is there any real makarin in halacha, in minag Yisrael, to shake someone's hands? Show me a maimer chazal that says there is such a concept. Maybe it's a goyshe concept. There is no such thing.
When someone comes from overseas, that you're in the Kabbalah, you give him shalom.
Who says you have to shake their hand? Where does it say you should shake someone's hands?
So in China, they're doing with their feet.
They put their feet together? Kazatska.
That's Kazatska.
Okay? So this is now going to become a big topic of discussion. Is there indeed such a thing as giving? Is there such a thing over here as giving someone peace by putting by giving their hand? The Indians, the way they give peace, they go like this. And they bow their head.
The Asians.
I have no idea. All we have no idea. All of the, but you know, a lot. I know this is like I know there are certain public figures, Russia yeshivas, they don't shake your hand. Chaim of Aaron Shacht every Shabbos, so they're bad. There must be. It used to be how many people daven there on Shabbos in the good old days? How many people? I don't know. 400 people daven there on a regular Shabbos. He doesn't shake anyone's. Never. Go back 20, 25 years ago. He never shakes anyone's hands. He shook your hand. Oh, right. He liked because he grabbed your hand. Wow, he never shook my hand. I must have said good Shabbos to him at least 500 times, at least maybe 1,000 times. He never shook my hand. He doesn't shake hands. When I was in the plane once, someone told me, I was sitting next to this fellow, and he told me that he worked with the Pope. We didn't believe this. This is just like, and he came to the conversation, and he said that he trained the Pope that they should never shake anyone's hands. Okay, never. And when someone gives you their hand, and let's say you're in the public, let's say it's being televised. So you can't embarrass someone. So I'm all, all right, that's Trump. But I'm all, there are situations, everybody say, please. Making jokes throws off course. We have to get someone, so he said, when they trained the Pope, that when someone puts out your hand, if you're in a situation where you have no choice because of publicity, because of embarrassment, to saying, don't ever grab. Don't let them grab. The most you should do is to swipe. He told me this. He trained the Pope. The most you do is, someone puts out your hand, you swipe it. You swipe it. Don't let them ever grab your hand. You don't grab anyone's hand. Don't touch. If you have no choice in a given situation, just swipe. And that way the picture will capture as if you actually shook his hand. But halacha lemaisa, you have minimized your contact. If it works, if every second counts, the more every time you're in contact, the more danger there is. All right, in any event, we have here three words.
You're not allowed to take the Pope's hand.
I'm sure not anymore. After today, after this week, no one's shaking anyone's hands anymore. Until this thing works, until this thing is resolved, no one's shaking anyone's hand anymore.
He's sick himself. Yeah, he got the machla.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, he has coughing and sneezing and everything.
Rabbi Sai, let's learn. Rabbi Sai. It says here three words. V'atot titzaveh, v'atot tidaber, v'atot hakrev. Rabbi Sai, please. Three words. What do these three words mean? They have a different connotation. V'atot titzaveh is a command. Follow orders. Tidaber is a conversation. V'ato hakrev has a connotation of endearment. Come close. I love you. It's a different type of expression. What's the pshat? So I don't know if he says this, but it's very pashat. When it comes to nice clothing, do you have to persuade a person to wear nice clothing? Come to Bergdorf Goodman. Here's a gift certificate. For $20,000, you could have whatever you want. You have to go persuade a person to go buy nice clothing. I'm giving you here beautiful clothing. The ata tidaber, speak. and tell them, make for yourselves designer clothing, exotic, beautiful clothing. You don't need to do kiruv rechokim, and you don't need to give orders. Naturally, when you give something, someone nice, they're very happy to enjoy blessing. When it comes to service, public service, sorry, not for me. Public service? You want me to be a kohen? You want me to serve in the Beis HaMikdash? You want me to give up opportunities to make a lot of money? So I should serve in the Beis HaMikdash and teach Torah and bring korbanos? I can't make a living like this. You have to do kiruv. The ato hakrev es aharoi nechicha. The es bonof. You have to struggle. You have to speak to them with love and tell them, this is a bracha for you to be able to serve in public as a public figure and to teach Klal Yisrael Torah and to give over to them Yirah Shamayim. What about Shemen Zayizach? That captures the concept of purity. 100% purity. Musar. Shemen Zayis Zach. The oil has to be 100% refined. No sediment. Not even a mashahu of anything impure. That's a tall order. To tell a person to be perfect with absolutely no no blemish, that's a very tall order. For that, you have to command them. I'm the boss. You're under my command. What I tell you to do, you do. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But you have no choice. You have to produce Shemen Zayis Zoch Kosis Lama'ar. Perfection. So this explains why in a series of couple of psukim, we walk away with three different terms. V'ata titzaveh, v'ata hakrev, v'ata tidaber. The lightest of the three is tidaber. Makes a lot of sense. If I'm giving you beautiful clothing, who doesn't want to wear beautiful clothing? I have to go convince you. I have to command you. You'll do it on your own. All I got to tell you, where the clothing are. On your own, you'll go, you'll put on beautiful clothing. When it comes to be a public servant, you need to do a lot of kiruv. You have to have one meeting, another meeting, a follow-up meeting, endearment. You have to really struggle in order to bring a person close. When it comes to demand musar, perfection, kos islam or, then it's titzaveh. Okay, so this is one easy. Now, I want to go a step further. That's all fine and good in the parasha. What about the haftorah? Now, there are really two haftorahs for this week's parasha. There's the real haftorah that we would ordinarily lane if this week was not Parsha Zohar. And then there's the haftorah that we will lane the Shabbos, being that it is Parsha Zohar. There's a very fascinating topic of discussion. If a person, when you maver sedra, shnayim mikav yechat targum, are you also mechuyiv to do shnayim mikav yechat targum on the haftorah? Some say yes, and many say no. But many say you do. Then in that camp of those who say that the same way you are obligated to review the parasha, shnayim mikav yechat targum, you're also obligated to review the haftorah, shnayim mikav yechat targum, which haftorah? So in a week like this week, where we're not going to be laning the regular haftorah, we are going to be laning the haftorah of parasha Zohar. So which haftorah should you review? Shnayim mikav yechat targum, if you follow that line of reasoning, the haftorah of Shmuel, of Agag, of where Shaul failed to execute Agag, the king of Amalek, and Shmuel's Musar, and Hashem's decision that no longer will Shaul be the king, the Malchus will now be transferred to David. There is a school, there is an opinion that says, it's an incredible insight, that in a week when you maver sedra, like when there's a special maftir, you also have to review the haftorah that you were meant to read had this week not been Parsha Zohar. Because the haftorah of the Parsha, even if you're not going to read it, defines, complements, enhances, embellishes what the Parsha is all about. So even though it's true we're not going to be reading the haftorah from this week, the haftorah would ordinarily be from Sefer Yechezkel, describing the building of the Bayis Shlishi. Okay, different elements of the Bayis Shlishi. even though this week we're not going to be reading that Haftarah, but there is an opinion that says you should review this week's Haftarah, because this Haftarah defines, captures the essence of what the parash is all about. There's what to learn from the Haftarah that will capture the essence of the parasha. So let's look at the Haftarah of what would have been Parashas Tetzaveh. Guess what? It begins with the word Atah. Hashem is speaking to Yechezkel. Atah ven Adam, Hageid es beis Yisrael es habayis. Instruct them how to build the bayis shalishi, the third beis hamigdash. And the psukim then go on and go into the details of what exactly the kalim of the bayis shalishi look like. And how does this atah begin with? Hageid, a fourth word. The parasha has atah tetzaveh, atah hakreif, atah tedaber, but the haftorah, which always serves as a complement, as another dimension, begins with the word atah and introduces us to a fourth word, hageid. The word hageid has a very different connotation than tetzaveh, then hakrev, and then tedaber. Tedaber just means to speak. Tetzaveh means to give a command. Follow my order. We're not playing any niceties here. And hakrev is the mushy word. Hakrev, oh, you're a tzaddik. Let me kiss you. Let me hug you. Let me bring you near. Let's do kirev v'chaykin. Hageid is a whole different beast.
There's a difference. Saged
v'saged l'tnei Yisrael. V'saged hagodo. Amira is soft. Soft. Amira is l'noshim. To Beis Yaakov, l'noshim, Rashi says. And hagodo is dvarim koshim kegidin. Kosha is harsh. But it's not a tzivui. A tzivui is a command. Haggadah has a connotation like the Haggadah. V'higadta levincha bayoim hahu lemar. Haggadah has many connotations. Number one, as you correctly mentioned, Haggadah means harshness. Dvarim koshim kegidin, sinews. The sinews of an animal, of the flesh, are hard relative to the meat. Haggadah has a connotation, detail, not general principles. Let's go into every minute detail. Haggadah has a conversation of dialogue. If the Haggadah, v'igarta levincha bayam hu le'emar, b'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisim v'mishrayim, it's the post that we use in the framework of the mitzvah deraisa of Haggadah, Lel Pesach, and we do know that the Lel Pesach is structured question and answer. So the word Haggadah has a connotation of dialogue. It's a whole different word. And that being the case, the word over here in the Haftorah, when it describes the binyan of the Bayis Shlishi, is presenting us with another dimension of how a leader speaks to his community. Now, what does that mean exactly? We just said that there are many dimensions in the word Haggadah. But I think the most critical dimension of Haggadah is dialogue. In the Parsha, it's a one-way street. You, Moshe, either you command them, or you speak nicely to them, or you speak b'loshon chiba, hakrev. But all of those words are one way. You're quiet, I'm talking. If I'm talking, you don't say a word. Haggadah has a connotation of dialogue. And it has to be, because since the mitzvah of Lel Pesach is Vigat Levin Chavayim Ulim Avur Zeh Hashem Li B'Tzeisim B'Mitzrayim, and that's all part of She'elu Tshuva, dialogue. The Haftorah is always coming to present us with a different perspective. The Haftorah always has to be something very different than the parasha. And the Haftarah is teaching us that indeed it's true that more often than not, in Klal Yisrael, you're supposed to listen. You're supposed to speak. A leader is supposed to speak. But there's also a time for a leader to discuss, to have a conversation. And what about the Haftarah that we lay in this Shabbos? That's ultimate. Because there, if there's one pasuk in the Haftorah of Parashas Zohar, that is key. It's the words to listen. What are the words? Let me read you. Let me actually read you the words of the Haftorah Parashas Zohar. When Shmuel gives Musar to Shaul, why did you not obey the command? Hashem wants you to listen. Listening is more important than sacrifices. Hakshava, which is another word for listening, is more important than anything else. Let me turn to the page. Okay. Vayomer Shmuel, hachefetz l'Hashem b'oilois uzvachim kishmoya. Like to listen. B'koil Hashem. Hinei. Shimoya. To listen. Mizevach toiv. Is more important than sacrifice. Lehakshiv, to hearken, is more critical than mechelev elim, than offering the fat of elim of rams. Mm. So what do you take out of the pasuk over here? I mean, this, I believe, is the key words of the Haftarah. Go through the summarize. If you only would want to take one pasuk of the entire Haftarah, what is the message of the Haftarah? It's that pasuk. Because the story of the Haftarah is Shmuel instructs Agag, Shmuel instructs Shaul to go to war against Amalek, and to capture the king, and to wipe out the country, and to execute the melech of Amalek. And what happens? He doesn't listen. He goes to war, and he's successful, but he preserves the life of Agag. And when Shmuel meets up with Shaul, and he says, why is Agag still alive? And he makes up some lame excuse. And he says, did I not tell you what is the command? The command was to kill him. Why did you delay? And at first, Shaul, he's in denial. He says, I didn't make any mistake, until later he comes around to acknowledge, indeed, chotasi. And this cost him his malchus, because he did not obey the command of Shmuel, and he did allow Agag to remain alive. He lost the malchus. And what is the lesson of the Haftarah? It's clear as day. The key pasuk of the Torah of the Haftarah is, Hinei Shemoya. Mizevach toiv, lehakshiv is better. Mechelev elim. So what is the contrast of the Haftarah to the parasha? The parasha talks about speaking. You can speak with amira, with dibur. You can speak with atzivui. You can speak with hakrava. But the contrast to the speaking is the listener. The listener has to know how to listen. Shemoya hakshava. It's a lost art. Today, in this generation, the young generation, it's a big, big problem. There's no such thing as listening. One of the memches devarim shatar nidreshes is shenias ha'oizen, is to listen. It's very hard to listen today. People want to be heard. They don't want to listen. Go to a shiur today. It used to be years ago, you give a shiur. There's a person giving the shiur, and the people are listening. Today, everyone thinks they're giving the shiur. That's the way it is. Not in the world. It's a certain attitude where people have a very hard time listening. The attention span, what used to be an hour, has been reduced today to 40 minutes. Shaved off. Today, the standard is you cannot expect, ask all the big experts, 20 years ago, it was a given that a person can go to a lecture for 1 hour, 60 minutes, no problem. You can hold even to the most boring lecture. Okay, the most boring lecture, you can pay attention for 60 minutes. Because that's the amount of respect a person can give, and you can listen for 60 minutes. Today, no such thing. You can't hold out more than 40 minutes. The art of listening is gone. And Parsha talks about the different types of dibur, tzivui, Dr. Fruchter, I hear everywhere you're saying. the parasha speaks about a tzivui, about a hakrava and about a dibur. The other half Torah that we are now reading today speaks about Haggadah, which is a dialogue. It's a different, it's a contrast. And the Haftorah that we read this week is Hakshava. And the emes is you need them all. You have, there's a time and a place for every type of speech and every form of listening. Okay, let's go on to another idea. In this week, I want to tell you over here that I want you to help me with this. This should be fun. We'll see if it's fun, maybe not. We shall see. The next idea. This week's parasha, we learn about the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol. What are the eight garments? Let's go to the eight garments. Garment number one is the pants. The nichnosayim. He wore pants like everyone else. You have to understand that these are really the undergarments. He was talking about wearing pants. These were basically long johns. Right? Is that really what it was? Yeah. The nichnosayim are the lower portion of the body all the way down to the ankle, which covered the besar erva. Pants, which covered the besar erva. Then there was the nichnosayim. What was that? A turban. That was basically a long shirt. No, again, that's the hat. I'm sorry, the kesoines. What's the kesoines? A turban, the tunic. Basically, it's a shirt, but the shirt goes all the way down to the floor. It's a long t-shirt. It's a t-shirt which goes all the way, an oversized t-shirt, goes all the way down to the floor. So basically, your legs are doubly covered. Your legs are covered by the michnasayim, by the pants you're wearing, linen, they're made from linen, and they're also covered by a second garment, which is the shirt, which covers your chest, your heart, your shoulders, your arms. There perfectly goes all the way over your arm, like a t-shirt. Mom is like a t-shirt. A linen t-shirt, but it doesn't stop at the waist. It goes all the way down to the floor. Okay? So that's already two garments. And those are standard. Even a Kohen Hegi wears those garments. Then there is a belt, an avnet. You put on a belt. Okay? You wrap a belt around your waist to separate your heart from your erva. That's three. Then the Kohen Gadol wears a hat, a turban. Now, how do you wear a hat? It's a very long piece, like a long gartel, pretty much. It's a very, very long piece of material. Chazal said the hat of the Kohen Gadol was 16 amos long. And you just wrap it around the head. And you keep on wrapping it and wrapping it and wrapping it. It probably took forever. You know, you take the material and you just keep on going until you finish wrapping this thing, which is about 30 feet, between 20 and 30 feet around your head. Just keep on wrapping. It's a lot. It's pretty long, 30 feet. Okay, a turban. A Kohen Hedyot was the same thing, but it was shorter. It appears the only difference in the Kohen Hedyot and the Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Hedyot, his turban was 16 amos, and the Kohen Hedyot's turban was less. I don't know how much less, but it was a smaller turban, so you wrapped less. Currently, he keeps on wrapping until it's all the way around your head. Okay, that's already four. What comes next? What comes next is... That's the mitznefes. That's the hat. It's already four. Okay, next is the tzitz. The Kohen Gadol, the four special garments, he puts a plate of gold on his forehead in the area of where the tefillin are. Okay, below where the tefillin would go. Drop below where the tefillin would go. And it says on this plate, Kodesh LaHashem. It's called a garment. It's really an ornament, but it's considered to be one of the four garments that goes on the head. Garment number six, he wears an ephod. He wears a me'il. What's a me'il? A blue garment. It's like a big talus. It's like a big talus, a massive talus, and has a hole in the center, and it goes down, all the way down on the front, all the way down on the bottom. It's 100% techeles, beged shekula techeles, and on the bottom there are bells. Okay, and I guess his arms come out in the center. Either he had fitted arms, or maybe it was just the arms were in the center, like what are they called, a certain type of garment women wear. A poncho. Like a poncho. There are many opinions. It's not all clear what exactly the me'il looked like. All we know about the me'il is that it covered the entire body, from shoulder down to toe, it was 100% techeles, and there were 72 bells on the bottom. Okay, were your arms fitted? Maybe yes, maybe not. There are different opinions. In the classic picture of the tabernacle, it was a poncho. They don't show that the arms were put in, it was tailored where it had arms. It's just front and back. That's how they presented there. I don't remember what happened in the article, how they presented. Whatever it is. Okay, that's garment number 6. Garment number 7, the ephod. What is the ephod? Sirach is a long discussion. Ephod basically is a garment that covers the back of the body, like a cape. In fact, if you look in Rabbi, the Living Torah, by of Arya Kaplan, he shows a cape. Okay, Lahavil Elif Alfa Havdolis multiplied by a billion, Superman. Okay, a cape, an ephod. It's not the way they show it in the art scroll and in the tabernacle. They show it as an apron. An apron that covers basically the back, the lower portion of the body. And I guess also the upper portion. Basically, it's a garment that covers the back of the body and you fold it towards the center. A garment for the back, which leads many to say it was a cape. A cape. Ancient times, nobles wore capes. What's the purpose of a cape? I don't know. Ask Superman. What's the purpose of a cape? I don't know. Obviously, there's something to a cape. That's not the way Rashi learns. Rashi clearly learns it's not a cape. It's a garment that covers the back of the body and it folds over into the front. Other Rishonim, and you can see illustrations in the Living Torah, it's a cape. He has another whole collection of pictures there. Very, very interesting. Yeah, we're so used to learning only one pshat. We're brainwashed. But you look in the Rishonim, it's fascinating, the ideas. Other Rishonim have different ideas. Reading what it says, what exactly these bugadim actually look like. Who's to say? And what is the eighth garment? The choshen. The choshen hanishbat, this plate which goes on the heart of the Kohen Gadol, which has 12 stones, which lit up. The choshen is fastened in place by the ephod. The ephod's job is to keep the choshen in place. You suspend it from the shoulder, attached to the ephod, and from the sides, the ephod, this garment that's worn on the back of the body, is what is the support to keep the choshen on the front of the body in place. We've gone through 8 garments. Okay, I want to make the following wild, wild suggestion. These 8 garments correspond to the 8 times we find in Chamishei Chumshei Torah garments. Now, let me test you. If you can help me find 8 times, maybe you'll have more, and if you'll find more, we're getting into trouble here. You're going to have to refine. We're going to have to refine this vart. This will be a dynamic vart. Okay, so Adam Rishon. So how many garments Adam Rishon wear? Excellent. 2, twice. It says Adam Rishon after the Chedei Tzadas, Vayisperu Ale Zayis. Ale Te'ena. To do what? No, with one garment. Ale Te'ena to cover their Erva. Ki'erim, they made Ale Te'ena to cover the Besar Erva also. One garment. So I want to suggest the Ale Te'ena are the Michnasayim. The purpose of the Michnasayim, it corresponds to the Michnasayim. The purpose of the Michnasayim is to cover your Erva. Pashat. To cover. The Adam and Chava, before the 8th and the 8th Sadas, they were Erumim, naked. V'lo yisboi shoshu. They were not ashamed. And what did they do? By yisperu ale te'ena lechasois pesar ervasam, to cover their nakedness. Okay, so that's the nechnasayim. Okay, number 2. Before we go, what happened? Hashem said, very nice, but you need better. Let me make for you better. Hashem made kosnois or vayal bishem. Now, or in our Torah is spelled with an iron leather. In the Sefer Torah of Meir, it's spelled with an aleph, garments of light. Why was it necessary for Hashem to give Adam and Chava a set of garments after they already had their own garments? So you look at the Mefarshim, different ideas. Hashem wanted to upgrade them. Tznius. It wasn't sneeze enough. Hashem wanted higher standards, spiritual garments. I don't really know. I want to suggest, maybe I'm totally wrong, you'll help me with this, that the kosnois are is the tzitz. The tzitz. Because the tzitz is kodesh l'Hashem. It's something which is purely spiritual. Kodesh l'Hashem. The plate that goes in the forehead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is making for them kosnois or, and in the opinion of their mayor, don't read or with an ayin of leather, with an aleph, light. This is spiritual. The tzitz is not really a garment, it's a spiritual thing you put on your body. Kodesh l'Hashem. Okay, you can argue with this, but let's assume this to be for the moment. Okay, next Noah. Set of garments.
Noah.
Where does it say Noah had garments?
The kids covered
it. Simla. They took the simla, the garment, and they covered. Who took the simla? There was two machlokes. Acham said, let him remain there naked. Good for him. And he did an avera. He went and he castrated his father. Why? He was afraid his father would have another child. They wanted to divide the world among the three. For a fourth child, then they'd have to split up the world in 25%. He took it because he didn't want to lose from 33% to 25%. Okay? For 8% of the world, he went and he did the worst thing possible to his father. He removed the baits above his father. Would you believe such a thing? For 8%. Until now, I'm going to get 33%. I have two brothers. Yefes and Shem. And me, three brothers. Each one gets 33.3%. So what did he do? My father, he may have a fourth child. For the fourth child, then we're going to divide it four ways. 25% apiece. So I'm going to go from 33.3 down to 25. That's 8 1/3. 8 1/3, I'm not willing to allow this to happen. So therefore,
the Bechor gets a double.
Good point. Okay, yes, he's making a very good point. I don't know. Okay, he's saying, so therefore,
25%.
So he's going to lose. So they have to figure out how much would he get originally. So he would be getting, we have to make the calculation, whatever. Okay. Whatever it is, good point you make. So what happened? They took the simla and they went backwards to cover the Bechor. That was what Chum did. I'm not covering my father. But what did Yefes and Shem? They covered their father for different reasons. Shem covered his father, L'chvoidoi, and Yefes did not have the best intentions, but he did so. And Chazal discussed, I'm not going to do this now, they discussed what their kavanas were, but they took his garment. So you learn there was a ma'is in Tanakh where Adam HaRishon had a garment. And what was the purpose? The chasois besar erva, to cover his erva. So we already covered the erva. We already covered the erva with the michnasayim. So what? There's another garment that's mavdil between the erva and the lave, and that's the avnet. The avnet is mavdil also. And here we do find havdalah. We find over here each one of the three brothers had a different intention. Kecham didn't do it all together. And Yefes did it just to take away the embarrassment, whereas Yefes did it with kavana shame l'chvoidai. So there was a different dimension. There was havdalah in the approach to covering his erva. There was havdalah. So therefore, the avnet, who is a garment which doesn't cover the bad, the erva, but it represents a hevdel between the lave and the erva, perhaps we can suggest fits into the simla, the garment in the story in the Torah of their covering. The Torah explicitly says vayikach es simla. So look at the words, by the way, they're different words. We have words. You have they made ale seena lechas al ale lechasois. Hashem made for them kosnois or, and here it says the word simla. Okay, now where do we find a garment again? Where do we find the next garments?
Esav,
the big day chamudos, that Rivka dressed Yaakov Avinu to steal the bracha in the big day chamudos. in the desirable garment. What would you consider to be the big day chamudos from what we have left? So I want to suggest it's the choishen. I want to suggest the big day chamudos is the choishen. It's chamud. It's precious. These are precious stones. Precious stones in the choishen, the urim, the tumim, is the shem Hashem. Okay, I told you this is going to be fun. You're going to argue with me. You have to think about this. This is going to be total nonsense. But let's work with that at this moment in time. You have to understand that the big chamudos of Esav were mystical. What do we mean mystical? When Esav wore the big chamudos, animals were naturally attracted to him. Or if he had a kavana on the garments, was etched every animal in the world. All these interesting midrashim that talk about the bidei chamudos. The bidei chamudos did mystical things. The only garment the Kohen Gadol wore that did mystical things was the choshen. The stones lit up. It was a mystical garment. It did these amazing things. The bidei chamudos of Esav did mystical things. He used these garments to go hunting. The animals came to him. It was a mystical type of garment. So it corresponds to the choshen hamishpat. Okay, now we go to the next garment in Chumash. We really skipped over one, I believe. Where do we find another garment before this Maisa of the Beit HaMudos? Avraham Avinu, when he came back from the war of Sodom, and he said to Melech of Sodom, Im Michut v'yatzeroich dal, Im Ekach mikol asher loch. I don't want to take that shoelace of shoes. I don't want to include in a garment, because the Kohanim didn't wear garments, they didn't wear shoes, but Michut, a thread. I don't even want to take from you a thread. What's a thread? A thread of a garment. He captured in war the spoils of war. In the war that Avraham Avinu went out to war, they captured clothing, Lord and Taylor's. they acquired all of the garments. They brought, it was all his. Not only am I not going to take your clothing, I'm not going to even take a chut, even one thread. And Chazal say, in reward for Avraham Avinu, saying he's not going to take a chut, we were zoiched to tzitzis. What is tzitzis made from? Techeles. What garment has techeles? The me'il. So I want to suggest is that this mice in the Torah of Avraham Avinu, his integrity, in mi'chut, here, Sodom, take the clothing. You could have it. The only thing that I want is Tein li hanefesh. The haruchush kach loch. And the ruchush is the chut. The clothing and the chut, take it. And because of his integrity, with zoich gesundheit, to the chut shall tcheles. The tzitzis, we have the Kohen Gadol wears the me'il tcheles. The garment that's cool to tcheles. Beget shakula techeles. What do we have left? Now let's go. Kesoynes. Oh, that's easy. Kesoynes pasim. Yosef, his father made kesoynes pasim, a multicolored garment which represented chashivus, nobility, easy as pie. The ephod. I didn't do the shirt yet. We have to get to the shirt. I'll come to that. The ephod. The ephod was a multicolored garment. The ephod had all the colors. Tcheles, argamon, telashani, gold, linen, you name it, it was there. White, blue, red, purple, and gold. Mamisha kesoynes pasim. Who wore kesoynes pasim? Nevim. David lovush ephod bod. It's a whole discussion. Who wore an ephod was worn by anyone that was choshev. Okay, anyone that was choshev wore an ephod bod. An ephod wasn't a garment that was miyuchad only for the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol also wore an ephod bod. Okay, a regular Kohen did not wear an ephod bod, but an ephod was a garment of a prophet. All of, it says in the passage of the prophets, it was their uniform to wear an ephod. To wear an ephod is, what is an ephod? I don't know. Rashi doesn't know. Rashi says, Rashi is a very, we'll have to talk about that Rashi later. a garment that basically covers the back of your body. I was always intrigued. They told you by the picture I saw in Rabbi Kaplan, of Arya Kaplan's Living Torah, where basically he shows it to be a cape, like Superman. Okay, that was an ephod. You wore a cape. If you were the Kohen Gadol, it gives it a whole new meaning. The Kohen Gadol, he wore a cape. David wore a cape. A Navi wore a cape. Rashi says, no. This is not DC Marvel here. It's an apron which goes around the back of the body, an ephod bun. Okay. So this is the Gesoinis Pasim. So what are we left? We still have more garments. What about the hat?
Another garment. When Yosef and Potiphar's wife had that whole incident.
Oh, but Tispeseyu, very good. He grabbed him. No, that's the Gesoinis Pasim. That's the Gesoinis Pasim.
Same thing.
Same garment.
Okay, so I didn't think of that, but it's very good. Now, first of all,
maybe that was the
Kesoinis Pasim. It could very well be. Not necessarily, because I think they took the Kesoinis Pasim, they destroyed it, the brothers, Lechiras Yosef.
Yeah.
So he's saying very good. I'm very happy you said that, the Kesoinis Pasim, because that's better than what I wanted to say. I wanted to say a story that takes place later in Chumash. And have a doichik and say in Mukdum Muchabat Torah. That's why I knew this would be fun, because I knew someone would correct me and then help me out. And you just did that. I wanted to say that Moshe was a masve. Vayiru'u migeshes elav. They were afraid to come near Moshe. So what did Moshe do? He put over his face a masve, a veil. A veil. Koran, right? A masve. Koran. His face was radiated. Radiation. All right, it's a scary thing, this virus. So the reason why, what did I want, before I came here today, I wanted to suggest to you, number one is, listen, I want to focus on stories. I'm not talking about Negoim. There's a parish of Negoim where it says in the Torah you wear a beged as a nega. That's halacha. I want to focus on stories. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he wore a mask. Why? Ki koran arpanov. What is the hat? Chazal make it clear as day. The hat is an expression of yiras shamayim, fear of heaven. Kasei roishich ki heichi delehevei yorei shamayim. It's a famous Gemara. The reason why you wear a hat is a sign of fear. It's an expression of fear. Vayiru'u l'gesh asilav. They were afraid to come near Moshe Rabbeinu. They were afraid to come near him. So he put masve, that's the hat. It bothered me, this pshat, because this took place after they built the Mishkan. Or did it? Not necessarily. Because Moshe went to Shemayim before Moshe, not necessarily. So you're saying, I think something a little bit better, I like a little bit what you're saying, is that Yosef, he wore vatispeseyu bebigdoi. She grabbed him by his garment. Vayonos vayetzi hachutza. This is the gresta expression of Yiras Shemayim. Vayonas vayetze hachutza is the greatest. No one is watching. No one knows. No one sees. This was way before the NSA, the CIA, before the MI6, before, I don't know, you name all the intelligence organizations in the world. There were no bugs. There were no electronic eyes. There were no satellites in the sky. There was absolutely no way anyone can possibly know if Yosef would be nichshol. A 17-year-old boy whose hormones are on steroids. And it is something, a 17-year-old boy, that is the height of their taiva. The height. Okay, think about when you were 17 years old. Okay? 17 years old is a very dangerous time for a young man. Okay, for a male, a healthy male walking the streets at 17 years old, is in a lot of trouble. It's no joke, especially in today's day and age where it's all out there. It's all out there. It's all in there. Okay? It's all over. It's a very dangerous time, 17 years old. And there's no one watching. There's no electronic surveillance. No one's tapping your telephone. These things didn't exist. There's no way anyone could know. And yet, Vayonos vayetze achuvat tispesel bebigdoi. Is there a greater expression of Yirah Shamayim? No way. And yet, he did it. This is the mitznefes. Because the mitznefes is a garment that reminds us of Yirah Shamayim. We're going to have now one more garment, too many. I'm not so worried. Because you will, okay? The other garment is the shirt. What's the shirt? So I want to say very poshut. You have to still be. You have any? Before I say any more stories, anyone want to make any more suggestions?
This time for Tamar, yeah. Was born.
What?
Tamar.
This prize. Hachosemes
yapsilim. Yeah, she was very to conceal
her face.
Well, that came before. That came by Rivka. So if
it was a veil, she put a veil over her head. A veil over her head.
Around the face.
She wrapped her face. No one should see her.
Rivka did it first.
No, but did Tamar take the... she took the chesemes, she didn't take his jacket?
It says three things. It says she concealed herself. Interesting. I didn't think of that. Okay, interesting. So we have now... No, let's put it aside. Go, anything else?
I want to put Rivka's tzif.
With her tzif?
She covered her face.
Excellent. B'shaduchim. When Eliezer came, Eliezer, okay, very good. Any more? Let's hear. Good. This is what I wanted to do because I couldn't think of anything more.
No, we're talking only.
Shaduchim. When Eliezer came back, Batika Chatzoif Atiskos.
Women couldn't be Kahana.
Batiskos. Tamar. Tamar, Yehuda, and Tamar. Yehuda married off Aaron Oinon. They died because of this woman, Tamar. He did not want to give her to Shelah. He was afraid she would also die. So she disguised herself as a zoina, and he lived with her. And in the meantime, she took from him the chesemes, the psilim v'hamate. And it says she stood by the road, draped in in some type of garment to hide herself. Okay, very good. Anything else? Okay, so those things, the only defect with those things, that's the maser, all those have in common one thing, by the way. Moshe's masve, okay, and the tse'if of Rivka, and the tse'if of Tamar. They all have in common face coverings. Mm-hmm. So let me make an argument now. Let me argue now that they don't count. Because they're covering the face. The Kohen Gadol didn't cover the face. The Kohen Gadol, his face was exposed. Adrab, it says, Melech biyofyoi sechazena einecha. He's supposed to see the melech in his beauty, and the king also by extension. The goal is to see what the Kohen Gadol look like. The common denominator of these three garments, the tse'if of Tamar and of Rivka, and Moshe's master, they conceal the face. I want exposure. I don't want concealment for the face. There is one more garment in the Torah, and that is the meraglim. Yoshua and Kalev, Vayikru'u Bigodov. When the Meraglim, says the Pasek, when the Meraglim came back and they gave over a slanderous report, a story. They rice Kriya. Vayikru'u Bigodov. They rice Kriya. What? Big Dayam.
I think Ruben also did. Didn't he also?
Oh, when he came back to the border.
Oh, it's even better. Good. So good, let's abandon that because that took place later on. Because that took place after the story of that took place later on, after the Mishkan was built. I really only want things that took place until now. I don't want to come on to Ein Mukdam Mochel. Excellent, better. So, by Yikur Begodav, Ruven, excellent. It's a sign of Teshuvah. It says in the Pasuk?
Yeah, I think so.
One
second.
He ripped his clothing. Okay, so we're in business. We are in business here. What?
Didn't Yaakov rend his garment when he got the news that Yosef?
I don't think it says that Yaakov ripped his clothing. It says just Vayimon lehisnachim. So I think we're really in business now. Anyone? Any more? Anyone? Any more suggestions? So let's review. So what does that refer to? He ripped his garments. That's the kesoines. That's the main garment is the tunic. I mean, the michnasayim are the pants to cover the erva, the ale te'ena. The shirt, the t-shirt that went down to the ankles is your main garment. The kohen hedyot wears, what do you, when you look at a kohen hedyot, what do you see? You see the you see the.
What is that, the
meal? That's not the meal, it's the kesoines. That's the kesoines. The tunic. The main garment of the Kohen Gadol and of the Kohen Hedyot is the kesoines. That is the basic garment that every Jew wears. Everyone wears a kesoines. You also wear the undergarment. The undergarment is the mechnasayim. So let's review. We've suggested now that until the time of the giving of the building of the Mishkan, the Ribbono Shel Olam says the Kohen Gadol is going to wear 8 garments. My high, 8, what do you mean 8 garments? He pulled out a hat? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Where do these 8 garments come from? These 8 garments are in the Torah HaKedosha. If the Torah HaKedosha went out of its way to talk about clothing 8 times, each one of these garments is a lesson, is a Musa Sefer, is what to learn from. When you look at the Kohen Gadol, you're looking at a living Sefer Torah. You're revisiting the stories of the Torah. What was the first story of the Torah? Adam and Chava, they made for themselves clothing to cover their erva ale to Eina. You too, put on some pants to cover your erva. Next, you're going to wear a shirt? What's the shirt? Reuven wore a shirt. And when Reuven did an Avera, when he realized that Yosef was sold, he was not successful in protecting his brother, in doing what a person's obligation is to shelter, to care for your brother, he ripped his garment.
It is in the pasuk, by the way. The Yikra Esbegadov.
Esbegadov. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's in the pasuk. A person, you wear garments of dignity. If you're not true to your mission, you don't deserve to wear a garment. Mm-hmm. Reuven only wore a garment because he's a human being, because I take care of my brother. If I was unsuccessful in protecting my brother, I don't deserve to wear a garment. Vayikru begadav, gone. You have a belt? Where does that come from? Learn the Musar from Bnei Noach. They took the simla to cover the erva of their father. And in this ma'isa simla, there was havdalah. There was a havdalah between Chom, who didn't want to do it. He wanted the erva to be exposed, to Shem and Yefes, who wanted the erva to be covered. Even when they wanted it to be covered, there was a havdalah in how the purpose. Yefes was zoicha to be buried, milchemes goy gumogoyk, whereas Shem was zoicha to the talis, not the tzitzis, to the talis. Thus is the avnate. Next story. The next story is, let's say, the kesoines pasim. Pasha, that's the ephod. The tzitz, going to the tzitz, kosnois or vayal bishem, koidesh la'ashem, a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about the choyshen, this mystical garment, which has stones that light up with the urim v'tumim, the big day, ace of hachamudois, magical properties. The Me'il is Avram Avinu in Michut, the Atzuroich Na'al. Ten li ha-nefesh v'ruchush kachloch. This is the Me'il. Okay, and the other head coverings, I'm suggesting with you, don't bring Miraya, because those are primarily meant to cover the face. And the Kohen Gadol doesn't cover his face. And what else do we leave out? The Mitznefes. The Mitznefes is Vatispiseyu Bibigdoi. We left it out of the big day that Eishes Poitifa grabbed him by his garment. Vayonos Vayetzi Achusoi, the ultimate expression of Yirah Shamayim, which is the purpose of a hat, of Yirah Shamayim. The other three are to cover the face, which we're not discussing. And the garment that it mentions by Kolev and Yoshua, they rip their garments. Well, then, no, that's also, you know, that's really a repetition from Reuven. That's all the same exact thing as Reuven. And also, that took place later on. That took place later on. Yaakov is ripped his heart, calling?
The Pharisee? Yaakov.
Ooh, some Lysov.
Right after the passage of Reuven.
Oh, so it does say. Okay, it does say. Okay, so it does say. So now we have another one. So you're going to have to be creative over here.
For the same minion.
It's the same minion. You have to say that it's the same minion. You have to say that since both of them, but there is a different word. Vayikru'u sim loisav. He ripped his sim loisav, and it says by Ruvain, vayikru begodav. One it calls a simla, and one it calls a beged. Okay, so it's a little bit different word, a different type of garment. One is an outer garment, one is an inner garment. Okay, but at least for now, it's the same principle. It's the same principle, the main garment you're covering your body with, which is the kisoines. So basically, we're trying over here to do at least this idea to some degree, is to show that there is a parallel between the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol and the eight garments found in Tanakh. Okay, we're out of time, so I want to mention one last thing, and that is, we're going through a very difficult matzav, Rabbi Yisai, now. It's a gefaralucha thing. That the whole country, the one that's suffering from this virus the most, it appears in America, is the frum community. Again. You don't hear this by the goyim. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible, terrible thing.
Why
and
in the state there's goyim?
There are goyim, but it's all over. But for, I don't know what to say.
What? They closed two Catholic schools in Manhattan.
Catholic schools. Yes. Okay, so it's spreading all over now. So no one knows what's going on. No one knows anything. There's not enough data to know anything. Everyone is just groping in the darkness. Chazal tell us, ha-foichba, ha-foichba, de-kulaba. If this event has happened against the backdrop, the intensity that was last week was also, but the intensity has taken on a new meaning this week. This week is just intensification, and everyone is really just in shock and awe, shock. And I mean, you walk in, people are really, really, really not the same. People's frame of mind is really noticeably different. It's not a coincidence that there's only one place in the Torah where there's a mitzvah of hafrasha, to be quarantined. And that, I'm not talking about negnegoyim, I'm talking about in a good way.
Lashon hara?
No, that's in a bad way.
That's in a bad way.
I'm trying to find some good thing out of this, not to be negative. This parsha, if this would have happened against the backdrop of parshas mitzvah, so you can imagine, all the kanoim would say, oh, it's gloom and doom, right? Listen, an Orthodox Jew has a right to say, you got to be very, very careful. Ha-feichba, ha-feichba, de-kulaba. Current events are, the understanding of the current events are to be found in the Parshas HaShavua. Fair game. If this event would have happened against the backdrop of quarantine, of Parshas Mitzora, everyone would be going crazy.
You
might say,
give
tzedakah. No. You know what I'm saying? Okay? Baruch Hashem didn't have it. But it happened in the backdrop of the Parsha that talks about quarantine in a good way.
What's a good way?
This week's Parsha is a Kohen Gadol has to be sequestered 7 days before Yom Kippur. The beginning of Masechta Yom with only 5 daf. The beginning of Masechta Yoma, Shivas Yom Lufnei Yom HaKippur, Mafrishin Es HaKohen Gadol. The 7 days before Yom Kippur. Yes, it is.
Sure it is.
This part, Tetzaveh. The whole Makar of Tetzaveh, if I'm not mistaken, this is Parsha. It's in Tetzaveh. Okay, you have to go look this up. Tetzaveh, one second, let me see the parasha. No, it's in Tetzaveh. The Iker Pesukim are the selection, the main Pesukim of the Gemara come from this week's parasha.
It says here,
V'zeh HaDavar.
Duma talks about sequestering because of his wife.
That's something else.
Because of his wife.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to get a Gemara. I have to get a Gemara.
Which parent?
Chavtes.
Yeah, Chavtes.
What does this have to do with the
Okay,
B'li Neder, I will Shivas Yamin Tala. B'li Neder, I'm almost positive that the Gemara beginning with Sechta Yoma learned some of the main. Okay, you're right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
This is homework.
Okay, we'll have to see. But in any event, the message is still the same, is that you have to be positive, you have to not panic, and hope is, everyone is being told to stay home. What's the message?
Stay home.
It's time to go home.
So the Beis HaMikdash,
to Yerushalayim, you're our Kodesh. We're coming up against what?
My son lives in Israel, as well, sent him a memo. He just got back from America on a business trip. Don't come to shul this Shabbat.
Stay home.
Oh, yeah?
You said
home. There's a message Hashem is telling us. It's time to go home.
You'll get to the newest show.